Mobile ERP. Mobile ERP allows businesses to manage their operations, access data from anywhere at any time on any device. It can be a mobile, it can be an iPad, laptop. It's usability in the position to reach out to the solution and see what actually is happening. This makes it easier for employees to work remotely and stay connected with the company systems. So your salesperson or marketing person who is going outside, or a person who is going to go for service, will be in a position to find out and connect to the system and find out what exactly is happening. Enterprise resource planning software is constantly evolving, and some of the latest trends in the ERP solution industry are, like we are already saying, artificial intelligence and machine learning. So these technologies enable business to make data-driven decisions and improve their operations. So there is no need. So system provides alerts based on the intelligence which the system is having, and it is a constant learning based on the decisions that has been made earlier by the people. And with the in contextual OCRs in place, users' data input is getting reduced to a very big extent. And today, your system is populating the values automatically based on the documents that has been attached, and it provides a decision for the user to proceed further. Internet of Things, IoT. IoT enables business to collect data from connected devices and use it to improve their operations. For example, if you are going to have an IoT that has been attached to your machines, with the sensors that is available, system will be in a user from your specific in a single mobile device, will be in a position to know the functioning of the specific device and find out whether it is stopped or it is working, and how fast it is working, how much is the operation that is handling, how much is the output from this machine. All these can are available in the single handheld device today with the help of IoT. Blockchain. Blockchain technology is gaining popularity in the ERP industry due to its ability to provide secure and transparent data storage and transfer. So with the blockchain, the entire message is added with the secured key, due to which system that data transfer between two systems are happening seamlessly, and it is a secured way it is proceeding further properly. Integration with other systems. ERP systems are becoming more integrated with other systems such as CRM, e-commerce, and marketing automation. This allows businesses to streamline their operations and improve efficiency. So today system has improved a lot. The ERP systems has improved a lot, so that their efficiency has improved and streamline of operations happening in the ERP system itself. Customization and personalization. So ERP vendors are offering more customization and personalization options to meet the unique needs of businesses. So today, customization and personalization become more like a configuration rather than a customization. With the no code and low code coming into picture, ERP vendors are focusing on less programming. This includes the ability to tailor workflows, reports, and dashboards to specific roles and departments. One more important thing that is happening today is that they are doing a robotic automation is happening, due to which systems are happening automatically, workflow is happening automatically from end to end. The ERP industry is rapidly evolving, and businesses need to stay up to date with the latest trends to remain competitive. So let us see how an implementation of ERP happens in an organization. This is a generic roadmap and planning framework, and it doesn't necessary that it has to be the same thing will be followed in all implementation of ERP. This is a generic roadmap. Based on the individual ERP implementation, this framework or roadmap changes. The critical success factors and potential failure points in implementation of an ERP is one more thing we'll be discussing today in this particular section. After covering a generic implementation plan, we will discuss implementation plans of the two major SAP and Oracle systems. So, generic, and afterwards we will go for SAP and Oracle also during the discussion today now. So, key phases of a generic ERP implementation are planning. Next is business process re-engineering, So, first in planning, what happens is that all aspects starting with a sponsor, program charter, goals, senior management involvement, with all plans signed off by the senior management team. So in planning phase, what happens is that the individual discussions with multiple stakeholders will happen, and a plan is arrived based on the priority, based on the business, based on the industry, this particular, based on the regulatory requirements and complexity. This plan is getting arrived, and the sign and the signature sign off for this particular plan is being taken by the senior manager from the senior management team. Business process reengineering that includes. So obviously in any implementation, there will be some gaps that will be identified with the current process and the new process to be processes. And then this gap is being identified and the gap is getting according to the process are getting changed, re-engineered to fit up with the new process, new plan that is going to happen. There could be places where based on the ERP, the company's ERP is getting selected, the company's process are getting changed, or based on the company's business process, the ERP is getting customized. next stage comes as implement. So in this includes changes to the company's business process and workflows as required and customization of the ERP product and testing these. Like we heard the mentioned earlier, in this phase, this customization and the workflow changes are getting changed, happening. Test includes various levels of testing of the product and data migration. Some of the test cases are user acceptance test, SIT, okay, which will be simulation test of whatever is happening. Performance test, if you are going to have multiple more number of users and more number of transactions that are going to happen, then performance test is very much required. Next comes a transition, cut over to the new ERP product, data migration and sign off. So next comes the transition. So you have to take a decision that by on so-and-so date, I am going to convert from this particular ERP product to the new ERP product. So this is a transition phase where the data migration is happens if you are already having an existing system, and from there you will be doing a data migration and proceed further. Sign off that this has been completed will be happening at this particular point of time. So in the current screen, we can see the typical ERP implementation roadmap. This starts from planning. Next comes the BPR, where we be defining the what is the current business process reengineering, which is nothing business process reengineering. Then comes the implementation pre-phase, then test phase, then transition phase. So let us look at what exactly happens in each of these particular implementation time. So in planning, project charter will be defined, program director will be decided, PMO and staffing will be taken into consideration, will be defined, deciding who are the staffing. Finalist plans, let us design what is the plan, finalist plan. Organization change, what is the change that is required in the organization. Management plan will be done. Training needs, what is the need for training of each number of users. This is based on number of users and number of people going to be in the organization. Quality plan, what is the quality, what is the testing and all these things happen, that will be quality plan. Compliance plan, what exactly are the compliances to be taken into consideration, like security testing, etc. will be taken into consideration. SME, subject matter experts, and experts will be, subject matter experts will be decided here. Then comes the high-level process standardization needs. Okay, so here, what exactly is the high-level process required, standardization requests that are required. Next comes the BPR, which is business process reengineering. Define existing business process and workflows. So this will be the this existing thing. Business process gap with respect to ERP, estimated whatever we are planning to go with the enterprise we are going to implement. What is going to be the gap? Strategy in address gapping. So like we are mentioning earlier, strategy in addressing gap. How we are going to address this particular gap? Is it going to be the ERP is going to change, or our process is going to change, will be decided here in the strategy in addressing gap. Initiate business process changes. So if there is going to be a business process going to change, the initiation of this process is going to be changed. What will be happening is that we'll be discussing with multiple stakeholders here, and we'll be deciding whether the new process is as per the regulatory guidelines, and accordingly we'll proceed further. Design and test process changes. So whatever is the process change we are talking about will be designed and tested now itself. Or if it is going to be done in a future date, we have to find out when it is going to be decided. What are the prerequisites for making this process changes will be done here. Sign off ERP customization. Then we'll be doing a customization. Which are the customization that we are going to do? That will be signed off here. Standardized master data. So whatever is the data that is going to be captured in the system, that will be standardized. Which are the fields that is to be captured for each of the master data will be captured here. Infra environment setup will be done. Initial training for the people, stakeholders will be done. This will be top level training will be happening here. Functional and technical specifications. What has been required by the functional team and what has been required by the technical team will be specified here. And this will be the technical specification that will be given by the ERP vendor also. And then we'll be planning on the test plans and the toll gates. Okay, what is going to be the test plan for each of this item? When it is, toll gates will be defined by before which it can't move to the next level. This will be defined here. Next comes implementation stage, where initiation and test business process changes in the organization will happen. Business process configuration in the ERP system and implement workarounds will be happening. So wherever system is not in a position to do a customization, and wherever you are not going to have a business process configuration, workarounds will be made here. Prototypes will be made here. Unit testing of the application will be happening here. Data migration plans will be done here. And we'll be designing on what time the data migration is going to happen. Complete ERP customization. The ERP customization will be completed at this particular point of time. The testing of this particular thing will happen at the next phase, during test phase. Test case will be created. Integration test will happen. System test will happen. Performance test will be happening. Data migration and POC will happen. Proof of concept. POC is nothing but proof of concept will happen for data migration. And again, data migration test also will happen. User acceptance test will happen on the migrated data. Defects will be fixed. Implementation change request will be happening. End user training starts. So change request will be like, if there are some things that are getting chargeable for the change that are they are going to make, that charges will be happening separately here. Next comes the transition, where all the testing is completed and we are going to make the system live. We call it as go live or production, go into production. So next is build, configure production environment, promote software in production environment. So here in this case, that will be multiple CRs that will be moved into production. If you are going to have an implementation with a multi outside, other integrations are going to happen, external vendors are going to connect to your system, then port openings from the network perspective will happen here. Build will happen. Complete end user test training will happen in this particular point of time. Data migration will happen. Final limited user testing with a few test cases, live case will happen. So what will happen is that there will be some branches that will be taken as a proof of concept run or pilot run. At the time, some trans will be tested first. Sign off will be happening for this particular thing. Implementation will happen, and then warranty starts and payment happens after the go live. So like we had explained all these things, program charter, scope management, schedule management, budget management, quality management, risk management, HR management, procurement management, communications management, program integration management will happen at the time of program planning. So this also covers setup of the program, staffing of the project, who is going to be the program manager, who is going to be the PMO, who is going to be the people who will be doing a testing, all these particular full-time, part-time staff, and if they are going to be a vendor, vendors will be involved here, and commitment for the project will be happening at this particular point of planning phase. Then comes the team, which are the team roles that are going to be there in a standard ERP, program director, project managers, business process and solution SMEs, technical SMEs, and architects, change management team. So typical in what will happen in a typical SAP implementation, let us focus on, earlier we were focusing on generic implementation, ERP implementation. Now let us focus purely on SAP implementation. What we will decide in this particular case is that we will be discussing the implementation aspects of SAP system. So technical implementation of SAPs in SAP depends on many factors. Probably the most important of which is the BPR gap assessment, determined to what extent the standard application software matches the business process requirements. So there are cases where SAP may not be fulfilling the entire product, entire requirement. In these cases, there will be tailoring will happen to the solution, or there will be business process will change as per the requirement, like earlier we had discussed. Other critical factors are users and management commitment, both for change and the overall success of the system implementation. So again, we bifurcate this into two parts. One is change and second is the product deployment. The most commonly employed implementation model is the ASAP model, which is nothing but accelerated SAP model, which is nothing but a tool-based implementation. All tools and documentation are made available by SAP. So a person who can he can click on multiple buttons and he can do the entire implementation by the tool itself. Five-phase approach will be, external project management is recommended this approach. Okay, project manager has to be an external person, which will be better in these cases. And accelerator has to be defined. So business engineer has to be used, includes reference models. This approach envisages very little re-engineering. So in these cases, there will be re-engineering or the business process is not going to be changed to that much extent. In these cases, business engineer can be in the position to deploy the entire solution. These are quick projects completed in 9 to 10 months if well managed. The ASAP model, which is nothing but accelerated SAP model of implementation, is based on the following critical success factors. So you can go into ASAP model only if you are in a position to complete these particular activities. So clearly defining the mission and the scope of the project. This is very much important for having an ASAP model. Clearly, project scope is the key in scheduling and ensuring that cost overruns are minimal. Realizing a detailed plan at the start of the project as close as possible. So it should be as per reality and as per what is required at the end of the entire project. Standardizing and establishing a single project or implementation methodology as defined in the ASAP itself. So you have to define, is it going to be a single waterfall model or going to be agile model? So this methodology has to be defined and accordingly we have to proceed further. Creating a homogeneous project environment. So the project environment should be so comfortable, so communicative, so that users are not going to result in, it should not become a real war room. The war room should be to the extent of project discussions. Some of the tools provided by in ASAP methodology are implementation assistant is being provided, question and answer database for the users to be comfortably finding out whether these particular questions has been already asked and answers have been provided. Business engineer will be provided and SAP project team training will be provided by the SAP team. SAP support and services will be provided by the SAP team and knowledge corner. So where the ideas can be shared and knowledge can be shared between multiple people. So typically consists of the following five phases. Phase one, the project preparation phase, including a work package in consists of technical requirement planning, mainly used to perform an initial sizing and procure the initial hardware. So first initial hardware and initial sizing will be purchased at the time of project preparation phase. Next comes the business blueprints phase, where the work package, develop system environment, which comprises the activities for installing and configuring the development system, including the definition of first system administrative procedures. Like we said earlier, not that much customization for role will be there, but more of a configuration role will be there in SAP implementation. Phase 3, the realization phase, is the longest phase and includes many technical activities. Most importantly, for technology and infrastructure related tasks, it contains a work package system management, which is made up of a set of activities such as develop system test plans, establish system administrative functions, define production system design, set up production environment. So it is like when you are going to have the environment, you have to plan what is going to be the system test plan. Like you had done the configuration in the previous phase. Now we are going to do a testing phase for this particular thing. You have to have a proper test plan. And this is a crucial phase where you are going to decide how the system is going to look like when you are going to go in the production environment. So here only you will be defining what is going to be a production system and you are going to set up the production environment also. The final preparation phase will be phase 4, where it contains the work packages from system management that target specific activities for the production environment, especially for conducting system tests. So what will happen is that you will be having a production near production environment and do the system tests there also to ensure for a smooth go live. Next comes the phase 5, where you'll be going live, and support phase is an important overall phase for the full project team, providing extensive support and guarantees that the system works as expected. So this is the final phase where you'll be going live and ensuring that the support phase kicks off next and sign-offs are happening at the proper time. Next, let us discuss about Oracle E-Business Suite implementation, how it is going to be different from other ERP solutions we'll look into. Despite the high potential business benefits of the software, the flexibility and broad scope of the Oracle's ERP makes an Oracle implementation challenging and complex. So basically, Oracle's ERP is having a broad scope and flexibility is also very high, which makes it more complex and more challenging. Unlike SAP, Oracle does not provide its custom implementation project plan with attendant documentation and tools. So we'll be having more challenges in finding out what actually needs to be done at this particular point of time Like in SAP, you will have question and answer, but here you will not be having that much question and answer. So which results in people sometimes doing a trial and error. So this is a typical plan for Oracle e-business implementation services methodology. First comes the planning. Next comes system configuration. Third comes the requirement gathering. Fourth comes the fit analysis. Fifth comes implementation. Next comes testing. And last comes the transition. These are deliverables are project goals, timelines, technical architecture in time of planning. Install hardware and software and network infrastructure at the time of system configuration. Process flow diagrams and business requirement documents or requirements gathering. Gap analysis and technical solutions will be at the time of fit analysis. Application setup and customizations will be at the time of implementation. System testing and UAT at the time of testing. And end user procedures and production cutover will be happening at the time of transition. This is a typical Oracle e-business suit implementation. And maybe changing at the time based on the option from the enterprise. So Oracle implementation project planning, like we have mentioned earlier, Oracle implementation project management and program management, gap analysis, these are the major key elements that will be happening. Employee communications that about the change in the system, form and report definition, technical infrastructure upgrades that will be part of the key elements of an Oracle implementation. So let us, having defined what exactly is going to be a normal ERP implementation and SAP and Oracle e-business suite, let us move forward to find out what are the critical factors for success and failure. These are the place, if you are not going to take care of these failure points, definitely this project is going to bound to fail. So this is very much important for us to understand. Different organizations face different types of challenges while implementing an ERP system. These challenges are mainly due to size of the system and its overall effect on the company's business operations and what kind of changes that are supposed to be brought into the business process also is part of the critical success failure, success factor. So why do ERP projects fail? So usually any project, now you will be feeling that you should be successful, but there are cases where ERP projects can fail also. So let us see what are the reasons why a ERP project can fail. In the world of project management, it is a software project that have the highest rate of failures or lack of success. So if we see here, the software projects are more likely to fail due to multiple reasons. Let us see what are the reasons why it can fail. Or failure means it is not like an entire project is going to fail, but it is not going to have the success ratio as defined earlier before the project has been created. Even amongst the ERP success, you will find a large number of deferred items. So you can, these are what we are discussing about in some time back, where what will happen is that, no, there are cases where ERP success will be there. You will be saying the ERP is successful, but there are, you may not be deploying all the functionalities in the solution as foreseen at the time of project planning. This could be reason, whether there are multiple reasons for this particular thing. So let us discuss in a positive manner on what are the critical success factors for ERP implementation. Some of the reasons are, this cannot be the entire list, but some of the reasons are here. BPR requirements and gap analysis, which is very important, and this is the crucial factor for success of any ERP implementation. While most ERP implementations do cover these aspects, this continues to remain one of the key failure points. So if you are not having a proper BPR or requirements and gap analysis, then there is a reason that ERP implementation may fail. This BPR brings out a gap analysis which can be addressed in two ways. Either process has to be changed or the ERP has to be customized as per requirement. If this gap has been not been analyzed properly, not decided properly, then there is a chance of failure. The first categories are those which are desirable. The second types of gaps are those business process. So we have to, entire gap analysis has to be defined, has to be decided, has to be taken into consideration, and has to bifurcate into two parts. One is that which are the changes that are desirable, which are the changes that are required for the business process to continue. Say, let us take an example, asking the user to give a password. This is essential, this is not desirable. when you are going to have a button there or a help there, it is desirable, because without that particular thing also system can function. Help, giving a help button is desirable, whereas giving a password becomes essential. So this gap has to be identified at the time of gap analysis and accordingly has to be desired at the time of BPR. The senior most management must lay down the ROI, return on investment, and approve key performance measurements that the technical staff decides upon. Most failures are due to unrealistic expectations which arise because expectations have not been quantified and agreed upon prior to start of the implementation. So there are many cases in live scenarios where there are unrealistic expectations that have been given by the functional people and which may not be required or which may arise at around, say, 1.1% of the entire business scenario. So it is necessary for the key people, key project people to ensure that the requirements are properly defined and properly met at the time of implementation. The objectives must be clearly documented in a project charter that includes the tangible and intangibles and timeframes conveyed across the organization prior to the start of the implementation. So before the start of implementation itself, the objective should be defined, project charter should be properly documented, then it has to be proceeded further. Critical success factors for ERP implementation includes commitment of senior management. Any major change in a change without support from its top management will definitely fail. So senior management should be committed to complete the ERP implementation. Successful projects have a dedicated senior manager of the CXO rank who has the veto powers, direct report to the CEO and regular periodic reviews. So without a proper senior management support, projects cannot be successful. Strong project management. So there should be a proper PMO, should be strong. ERP implementation are the biggest decisions a company takes. And the key to success of all software projects is excellent project management. Without a proper project management, it is bound to fail. Resource commitment. The other key element is staffing the project. So proper team should be deployed. The team should be free enough to ensure that they are doing the work properly. That should not be, if a same person is being given multiple projects, then it is going to fail. Most ERP vendors have their own implementation plan with resource requirements. Do not contest the resource requirement. So when you are going to have a discussion with the ERP vendors, don't say that reduce the number of resources from your end, because their implementation plans are based on the resource requirements only. The normal run time, run the business RTB will always happen, but an ERP implementation is a one-time affair and cost of failure is very huge. So this, keep this in mind when you are doing an ERP implementation, and accordingly have a proper team with not that much pressure on the people. Next important success factor is upfront planning. Even before the ERP deal is signed off with a potential vendor, it is essential to have the vendor and the company's team sit down and finalize and sign off an initial implementation plan, complete with resource commitments, ROI and performance measurement goals. This is very important to have the ROI defined and performance measurement goals defined. And what is a resource commitment? Otherwise, it will not be difficult for the senior manager to approve the future implementations of the specific project. The more time you spend ensuring that these things are done right at the beginning of the project, the less time you will spend fixing problems later on. If this particular point at the planning is missed out or has not been documented properly, then future, at the end of the entire project, you will be spending more time in fixing these particular problems. Next is organizational change management, which is very important. Considering the cultural change that is going to be brought in the time of ERP implementation, organizational change and the cultural change is very much important for the team to consider. ERP systems involve a major change for people, the system, and hence for the entire organization. So once the entire culture is getting changed, the entire system is going to change and the entire organization is going to change. Any major organizational change is always implemented through an organizational change management initiative, and the same applies for ERP implementation, because in the life cycle of most organizations, the ERP implementation is a unique experience. So always take into consideration when you are doing an ERP implementation and when you are going to change the process, business re-engineering, automatically, obviously, you have to spend more time on this particular thing and record whatever is a change that is going to happen, get the proper stakeholders' approval. Next comes the training. Without the training, the people, the end users cannot understand what exactly the system, new system is about and what is the change you are going to bring in. So this particular thing has to be kept in mind and ensure that the proper training plan is there and proper training is being given to the end users. Not understanding what the new system is designed to provide inhibits the rollout and stabilization. It is advisable to go with the consultant's training plan and add additional hours for training based on the employee feedback. Suppose the employees or the end users find that the specific hours that has been given for the training is not enough, you have to have additional hours for training. If not properly trained, post-implementation discard of the system has catastrophic impact on the business and the ROI which has been planned. So it has been, if the training is not proper, people will not accept this new system and you have to discard the entire solution system, ERP, and it will have a huge impact on the cost that has been involved in the entire business. Plus, the new business also will have an impact and people will not be in a position to go back to the old system also due to the migration that has happened. So have a proper training in plan and have proper videos in plan for the entire training. So let us, next one more important success factor is why we require the ERP. This has to be understood. This has to be made understood to the, all the employees and the stakeholders that are in the entire organization. Make sure you understand why you are implementing ERP. This is arguably the most important one. Perhaps process improvement, organizational redesign, or targeted best of breed technology will meet your business objective at a lower cost. So you have to think of this particular thing. Why we require an ERP and why this specific ERP? You have chosen on ERP, find out why you require this particular ERP, why not some other ERP. If this particular concept and if this particular reasoning is available with you, then you can be in a position to better implement the ERP. By clearly understanding your business objectives and what you are trying to accomplish with an ERP system, we will be able to make a more appropriate decision on which route to take, and that may or may not involve ERP. Next comes the long-term business goals. So you have to consider always what is going to be your long-term business goals, short-term business goals, and how this ERP implementation meets your long-term business goals, your organization's long-term business goals. This is one of the ERP selection failures, but impacts the company post-implementation. The ERP product selected failures to meet the company business needs as it grows. The time frame can range from 1 to 2 years. So this has to be kept in mind. This is a result of the senior management right up to the CEO not being involved in the selection process. So you have to ensure that senior management and the CEO are involved in the selection process to ensure that you are having a proper ERP selected for the implementation. It is absolutely essential to establish a clear set of ground rules before embarking on a ERP path. So before going proceeding further to the ERP implementation, ensure that you are having a proper set of ground rules you are set up for the management, for the ERP vendor, and for the own implementation team. The IT organization and the CEO play a major role in this. In a series of coordinator meetings and communication, the CEO laid out the operating mandate approved by the company's senior leadership. So once CEO is approving this particular thing and company's senior manager leadership also is approved, then proceed further. Only when these capabilities were in place and the initial objectives have been met, would the ERP team consider adding additional features. So for any additional features that are going to be added to the solution, and wherever there is a change that is going to be involved in this thing and the cost is involved, ensure that the CEO and company senior leadership are involved and they are approving the new change requirements for extra additional cost that is going to be happening there. ERP software has become a popular choice among businesses of all sizes and industries. There are several reasons why ERP software is in high demand among organizations worldwide. Some of the things are streamlined operations. ERP softwares help businesses streamline their operations by integrating various business processes such as finance, human resources, supply chain management, and customer relationship management, CRM. So there are several reasons. Again, we are having improved efficiency. ERP systems automate many repetitive tasks, freeing up employees to focus on higher value activities. This is in traditional ways, there will be multiple systems where user has to do an mundane activities of inputting multiple, data in multiple systems. With an ERP system, employees can access the information they need to make informed decisions quickly and efficiently, leading to improved productivity and reduced operational costs. These are the benefits of having an ERP system in place. ERP software provides a real-time visibility into business process and operations, allowing business to make informed decisions based on accurate data. So, this increased visibility is an important thing of ERP software. With access to real-time information, organizations can quickly identify and address potential issues, leading to improved decision-making and better outcomes. So, this is the reason why ERP is important. Some of the other reasons why ERP software is in high demand are scalability. With ERP software, it is designed to scale the business growth and the technological growth that are going to be there in the near future, providing the flexibility to add new users, locations and features as needed. With the new VMs, virtual machines that are coming into picture, this becomes very much important for the people to move on to the ERP, because as per the need, as per the peak of the transaction, in a single day also, the hardware can be upgraded and downgraded as per the requirement. Say, example, in your bank, if you are saying that 5 to 6 is my peak hour during evening time, so the bank can add the, through UBM, they can add the CPU to the server so that the transaction can progress, can be created without any challenges. This scalability makes ERP systems an attractive option for businesses looking to expand and grow. Improved customer service, which obviously will be an end of the ERP solution, because customer is going to get the one point view of the entire transaction that he is doing. ERP software provides a unified view of customer data, allowing businesses to provide better customer service. With an ERP system, businesses can track customer interaction, history, and preferences, enabling them to provide personalized service and build long-lasting relationship. With AI and ML advancement, nowadays, system will be in a position to provide better customer interaction, will giving feedback to the customer immediately at the time of doing a transaction and proceed further. ERP software helps businesses comply with regulations and standards by providing features such as data encryption, audit failures, and access controls. So, as per regulatory standards, ERP software will be better equipped rather than in different solutions, because in different solutions, you will be spending more time in implementing the same change in multiple softwares. This compliance reduces the risk of penalties, fines, and legal issues, giving businesses peace of mind, which is very much important for the business to focus on their business rather than going into risk of penalties and fines and legal issues. Thank you.